This is River of Life Assembly of God in Cold Spring, Minnesota.
Do you believe that God, you know, wants to do extraordinary things in your life? And I've kind of just entitled this talk, Asking for Mountains. And I've spoke this talk with, you know, my master's commission students who are in college because, you know, this resonates so much with the 20-age market, you know, the 18, 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds. But when you talk about it with, you know, someone who is, you know, middle age or 30 or 40 or 50, you think less about asking God for great, amazing things, about doing something extraordinary. Like, I don't really want to take big risks for faith or big risks for God. And so let's just pray just as we get into this evening in the message. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you just so much. God, I really believe this is something that you just etched in my heart, just even things that I've been going through lately. And God, I just pray that, man, may you reveal something to us this tonight. God, may we understand to say a little bit more of your character and just who you are and how you want to work with us and in us. God, I thank you so much how you empower us to do great and mighty things. And God, I pray that through this talk, that literally our faith starts to rise. May the words that come out of my mouth, may they be from you and not from me. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say, amen. Ephesians 3:20 says this. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. John 14:12 says this, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus saying this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to the Father. I mean, Jesus would say these words and he's saying this really to you. This is a promise to you that God says, I'm going to do greater in your life. I'm doing something greater. And I'm like, this is Jesus saying this. And like, I've read the book. He did a lot of really amazing things. And this is him saying this to us. You are going to do greater. You are going to do something greater in your life. And these are great promises that I love just to claim and saying, God, I'm not exactly sure what that means or how that entails. So let's just take a look. We're going to study just a man in the Old Testament. His name was Caleb. And if I would have had my way, one of my kids would probably be named Caleb. But I got shot down. I got vetoed. But this man by the name of Caleb, he just a little bit of a background of his story. He was part of the Israelites when they were held in captivity. These Israelites were in captivity for the last 400 years. And then Moses led the people out of captivity, out of Egypt. And they, you know, they parted the sea. You know, if you've ever seen The Prince of Egypt, you know, it happened a little bit differently than the movie. But anyway, you know, they passed through the sea. And then they, you know, kind of sinned a little bit. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years. But Moses sent 12 men over to Israel. This was the promised land. He sent 12 of his spies over to Israel, and they said, all right, go survey the land and tell us what it's like. Tell us who's inhabiting it. Tell us, you know, is it as great as God says it is? And so the 12 spies go check it out, and they come back, and they all say, it is unbelievable. It is so great. This land is absolutely perfect. It is a land flowing of milk and honey. And then 10 of them say, but there's no way that we can have this. The men who are inhabiting this land, they're giants. They're way stronger than us. It's better for us just to sit here and we'll just wander in the desert. But two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, they both said, no, God promised this to us. And we will surely take this land because God has promised us. And God cannot be proved a liar. And he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. And so this is a promise that God has given us. So let's go take the land. So this is this man named Caleb. Now, this is many years later. This is after they've, you know, they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they're inhabiting the land right now. They've kind of taken over the land. And this is a conversation that Caleb says to Joshua. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God of Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. I apologize. This is out of Joshua 14, 6 through 12. Actually, it's rolled right there. That's good. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on the day that Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. Man, if you think you're old and your time is gone, if you're older than 85, again, it still applies to you as well. But God has great, amazing plans for you. So again, this is Caleb saying this. Here I am, 85 years old. I am still as strong as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out into battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself has heard the Anakites were there and the cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as they said. So again, the Israelites were taking the land and they were kind of dividing up the land. They were looking at the 12 tribes saying, all right, this is your guys' section. All right, Benjamin, this is your guys' section. All right, this is our section. And they were kind of just dividing up the land. And most of the people, they wanted to live in just the nice, lush, wonderful valleys. You know, maybe it had a nice little stream that went through it. And maybe it had a little bit of a waterfall right here. And here's a nice little pond we can go swimming. And so most of the people, they wanted this nice little land just to kind of settle in. You know, it kind of sounds good. It's kind of where I'd want to go. And, you know, a lot like Iowa. You know, if you guys like Iowa, that was a joke. Most people are asking for the really nice, lush valleys. But Caleb, he asked for the mountains. He asked for a mountain. He's like, I want that mountain. But again, the background of the mountains, it was still inhabited by a race of giants called the Anakites. And the Israelites decided never really to, you know, they kind of forced all the people living in Israel out. But they allowed them to stay in the mountains because who wanted to go in the mountains? It was rugged. It was, you know, it was hard to do any type of battle because it was so hilly. And so the Israelites had driven them up there and the Anakites built a fortress up in those mountains. The Israelites were willing to live in the plains and let the Anakites just kind of chill out there in the mountains. So here's verse 12 again. Caleb's response. Now give me this hill country. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as they said. You know, ironically, the Lord gave Israel all of the promised land. But Israel was only happy with just a part of it. You know, this little country, this little place that's nice and lush and green, this is all we want. But God says, I've given you all of this land. But again, they were saying, I just want this. And sometimes I wonder about myself. I'm like, you know, is there times that God has given me and promised me so much, but you know what? I've just been satisfied with this little much. That God says, I want to give you so much more. The blessing is so much greater. If you just trust me, if you only just know all the things that I want to give you. You know, they say that our mind, we only use about 10% of our mind. And that the other 90%, we don't really utilize that much. I'm maybe at 11%. You know, I'm trying to work my way up. But again, God wants to give us so much. But sometimes we settle and say, you know what? This is okay. I'll just take this and I'll run with it. But Caleb was a man who said, I want it all. I want it all. I want all that God has for me. I want it all. History will tell you that the Lord gave them all the promised land, but they were satisfied for only a part of it. Therefore, the enemies plagued them all the years of their life. You know, you hear in the news all the time of just how Israel has a lot of issues, and you just hear in the news, I think just last week, where they bombed some places in Iran and Syria. A lot of these people are descendants from the Anakites. There are people that, again, that should have never been plaguing them all this time, but have continued to have battle after battle after battle. The definition of the promised land is literally what the Lord has promised me and you in this story. The definition of the mountain is a place where we sometimes allow the enemy to take residence around us, something that that God has already promised us. So I'm just going to go real quick. How do you claim your mountain? How do you claim all the things and all the blessings that God has for you? Because I tell you what, God is absolutely unbelievable. And as long as I've been a Christian, I'll never be able to understand how great God is. He literally just blows me away every single time. I kind of shared with some people last week that January 27th, which was just a week ago tomorrow, it was 14 years that I have been a Christian. 14 years ago where I decided, I'm like, God, I want you to take residence in my life. I want you to be first and foremost. And I tell you, that ride has been the greatest ride of my life. So how do you claim your mountain? Number one, to get your mountain, you must overcome fear and discouragement. You must overcome fear and discouragement. Verse 7 again, Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my conviction. He brought a report according to his conviction, something that God etched into his heart, not his feelings, not his circumstance. Sometimes we get into our life and, you know, circumstances kind of happen or emotion kind of happens. But again, I don't live by my feelings or my emotions. God's given to me and I'll listen to him every now and then. But you know what? I live by the word of God. God, what do you promise me? You know what? It's my prayer that my kids always love God and they serve God and they do good and they help other people. They love other people. It's through prayer and it's through reaching out to them that I know is the only thing that's going to be the biggest benefit and the biggest help. See, again, a lot of times we give in to fear. We give in to fear saying, you know what? I don't want to give God everything. I don't want to, you know, even like Jake was saying, I don't want to tithe because I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to do that. I love this. I got this from Joyce Meyer that she said, you know what, fear is simply having faith in what the enemy says. Fear is simply having faith in what the enemy says. Fear is really just the antithesis, the exact opposite of truly what faith is, what God gives us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I love the story. I love just reading about people doing extraordinary things. And Sir Edmund Hillary was a person who decided, I wanted to be the first person to climb and climb Mount Everest. And every time Sir Edmund tried, he would fail many times. And he would get on the bottom of the mountain. He'd go all the way back down after failing. And he'd look back up at the mountain. And he would say, do not laugh at me. Because you're not getting any bigger, but I'm still growing. I'm still growing. You know, there's so many times I face problems or trials or just things that frustrate me or things maybe just don't go my certain way. But I love looking back and saying, you know what? The Bible just talks about it that, you know, trials and tribulations, those are times to rejoice, which is a weird kind of verse in itself. But they're times to rejoice because it's times for our character to endure, to be tested, to grow. It's where God is doing something brand new and fresh inside of you. Romans 8:28 was always a verse I would say back in college. It says, Romans 8:28, you know what? Expect something great. Because God knows all things are according to his will and to his purpose. And he'll call them together. Number two, how do you claim your mountain? To get your mountain, you must invest time and effort. You know what? To really get anything great, it's going to cost you. It's going to take time, it's going to take effort, it's going to take persistence. It's going to take times that you fail on your face, you just get back up. And you keep on going after the mountain, you keep on going after the great things. Fortresses aren't built overnight, neither is something torn down just in one altar call or one easy prayer. We have to desire, sometimes we desire kind of have quick results. We have a microwave mentality, like Hot Pockets. You know, we have a Hot Pocket mentality. What's a Hot Pocket mentality? I want it right now, right away. You know what? People around me, especially like my wife, I'm the most impatient person in all the world. I want it now. I want it now. I don't want to get this fixed yesterday. I don't want to sleep on it. I just want to get it done. I want to be done with it, and I want to put it away. I have a little bit of a patience problem because I want it now. And God, I'll tell you what, God's not a Hot Pocket. He's more like a nice steak. Yeah, he's more like a nice steak that, you know, it needs to, you know, it's got to get good. And that's what God's blessings are. God doesn't want to give you a Hot Pocket. He wants to give you a great steak. And if you don't like steak, I don't know, just fill in your food. Find something good. Everyone likes to eat. There's always a food that everyone likes. I like steak. It takes a lot of effort to find giants in the mountains. Nothing worth having is free. But again, the key, the valley was still part of the promised land. You can live in the valley and the blessings of God. You know, you can live in the average and you'll go to heaven. But you know what? There's something so great of reaching the mountaintop. The view is so amazing when you say, you know what? I truly chose, rather than just settling for average or mediocrity, I really wanted to pursue in faith. Sometimes I really think one of the hardest spots to be is in just average, is in limbo. But you know what, something that gets my faith excited or something that will definitely get my prayer life going. I mean, just ride in the car with me. But something that will definitely get my prayer life going is when, you know what, I don't know all the answers. And it gets me excited to pray. gets me excited to go in the Word of God and saying, all right, God, what do you say about this? What do you say about this situation? So number three, to get your mountain, you must stay faithful. You got to stay faithful. Whether Caleb was in a desert or on the mountaintop, man, he was consistent. He was absolutely consistent because he knew whatever God's word said, God promised. I love the verse that says, his promises are yes and amen in Christ. For 45 years, this man was consistent and faithful that even at 85 years old, he says, I want that mountain because that is what God has promised me. Caleb was a man of faith. Again, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact was not revealed just by the senses. Caleb was wholehearted. He had amazing attitude and tenacity. No matter what you encounter, you must stay positive. Attitude is always going to be a brutal choice of your will. So, again, I'm a firm believer that God wants to do extraordinary things in ordinary people. So I'm just going to give you just a few quick points. How do you pray for those extraordinary things? I don't want to go too terribly long because you could be hungry, especially when I start talking about Hot Pockets or steak, and I maybe lost half the room, okay? If it's Hot Pockets, you know, come on over to my house. I'll make you something. It'll probably be like macaroni and cheese, but don't eat Hot Pockets. But again, four action steps to prayer. Four action steps of prayer, because prayer is one of the most exciting things that we do. It's one of the greatest gifts that we absolutely have is prayer, but it's probably one of the most underutilized things in all the world. You know, we have prayer that's happening every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and it's just being run by the people of this church. That gets me excited. I don't know about you, when the people are like, dude, we gotta have prayer. I hope that just gets you excited. And I'll be honest with you, prayer is not always the most exciting thing in the world. I don't always go into my prayer closet and say, all right, let's do it. Let's take on the world. There's sometimes, you know what? Because of my conviction that just says, I will do this because I know how important and how great prayer is. Prayer is the thing that moves the hand of God. And when we don't do it, we're selling ourselves short of all that God has in us and for us. So again, number one, you must secure the promise. I'll read this verse again, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes and amen in Christ. God is legally bound to his word and he cannot lie. He will hold his promises and take God's word before you. I love just getting into the Bible, and again, mine's electronic. I'm a nerd, you know, and I like tech. But, you know, I love getting into God's word. God, what do you say about me? What are the amazing blessings that you have? You know, when I'm having a rough day or I'm having a tough time, there is just something so amazing. There's something so priceless about God's word. I love just studying the people, you know, who are in China or just people that are Bibles are just absolutely outlawed. And they will hold a Bible just so sacredly, so carefully, because it's, you know, it's the only piece of God's word that they have. It's so amazing. And sometimes we take God's word and his promises as this commonplace. You know what? I guess I'll just wait to see what the pastor says about the Bible. Because that's how I get my food and that's how I get my nourishment. Man, God, the greatest thing is that God wants to speak to us, each and every single one of us, individually. And he has a great and amazing word planned for us and great promises planned for us. Again, Caleb knew God's promises. Number two, action step to prayer. You must be specific. Specific. Can't ever really say that word, but you got to be specific. It's up there if you don't know what I'm talking about. But again, you got to ask, you got to know what you're asking for. When Jesus wanted to minister to the people, he never assumed what they needed. He would always ask people, what do you want me to do for you? There's a very interesting story, and there's a lot of them in the Gospels, but there's a man by the name of Bartimaeus, and he's in Mark chapter 10. And Bartimaeus, he was blind. He couldn't see. And so Jesus went over to him. He saw that he was blind. He was a beggar, just kind of on the road, just trying to get some food. And Jesus goes over to him and says, what do you want me to do for you? Again, the man's blind. It's a little obvious. But you know what? God really wants us to be specific and really know what we're asking for. I always had a pastor who'd ask me, he would say, if Jesus spoke an audible voice to you and says, what do you want me to do for you? Would you have an answer? And I'm like, okay, I probably should get one. You know? And he really wants to know, what do you want me to do for you? And again, I think it's pretty obvious this man is saying, I'm blind. I'd like to see. And then the blind man again, he says, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus replied, go. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received sight and followed Jesus along the road. Know what you want to ask when you go to God. Number three, you must believe. You must have faith. This is many times very difficult. Because sometimes, you know, we've gone to prayer before and didn't really see the answer right away. And sometimes we come to God with a backup plan. You know what, if God doesn't answer my prayer, well, at least I got a little bit of a backup plan. I'll just fall on this. And right away, we set ourselves up for doubt or failure. Or on the flip side, maybe we use God as a last resort. We've been trying everything on our own and trying to figure things out on our own. And then all of a sudden, all right, I'll bring this to prayer. Again, God doesn't want to be a spare tire. He doesn't want to just be an option on the list. He really wants to be the option. Where he's saying, come to me, run to me. I hear your prayers. Mark 11, Jesus did a little mini sermon on prayer. He says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw it yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. And what's the next part of it? That you have it, that it is yours. Again, it is possible to ask for God and something in prayer and not believe. We do it all the time, or sometimes we give up too soon. There's a story in Daniel chapter 9, and Daniel he's praying. He has something very depressed on his heart of what he's praying for. He's praying for his people. And so he's praying, but he doesn't see an answer happen right away. So literally 21 days pass, and he's continued to say, keep on praying, just keep on praying, keep on praying. And he never stops. And then finally an angel of the Lord comes and says, Daniel, at the very moment you began praying, an answer was given in heaven. At the very moment, the very split second you opened up your mouth, an answer was coming. You just had to be faithful and wait it out. Sometimes, you know, when I'm praying for something that's really heavy in my heart, I could give up on, you know, day two, day 10. I always like to, you know, best way that I could maybe illustrate this is, you know, if you're making food, you know, you're baking something. Maybe you're baking a cake. I don't think we've ever baked a cake at our house, but this will work. You know, you're baking a cake and you're making all your ingredients. It's a nice big chocolate cake. And you're like, I forgot butter. I don't have any butter. There's butter in cake, right? Right? Okay, sweet. All right, so you're making a cake. And you're like, I don't have any butter. So you call your neighbor, and I call my neighbor a lot for food that I don't have. And I'm like, Andy, I need butter. Could you please bring some butter? And he's like, yeah, I'll bring some butter. So you hang up your phone. And what do? Do you stop making your cake because you don't think he's maybe a liar and maybe he's not really coming? No, you keep on making your cake. And you get everything ready, and you get the ingredients, and then he comes over, and I'm like, hey, Andy, give me your butter. And he's like, hey, thanks so much. And you know, I'm making a cake. And I kind of look at that with prayer, that sometimes when I pray things for prayer, even though I don't see it, the butter's coming. The butter's coming. You know what? And I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on investing. I'm going to keep on doing all those same things. I'm going to pray. I'm going to work. I'm going to work. I'm going to pray. Because I know that God is faithful to his word. And if he says it is going to be promised, it will come to pass. And the butter is coming. The butter's on its way. You just don't see it yet. I don't know. I just remember butter next time you're cooking. And then whatever you're cooking, bring it over to my house. Because I love home cooked things. Again, Mark chapter 9, verse 24, this man said, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Romans 4:20, verses 22. This is always one of those verses that I'm like, I hope this is said about me. But this is a man by the name of Abraham. He said, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, it brought glory to God. And he was fully and absolutely convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God declared him as righteous. So number four, last step with prayer, you must give thanks. When you go into your prayer time, give thanks to God. Close all your prayer times with thanksgiving because, again, you've already received it. The butter is on its way, so it's like, God, thanks. God, I give you so much praise for what you're doing in my life. You know what, my wife was, a lot of you maybe know that my wife was pretty much blind and we would pray so many times. It was a battle that we had for a decade. We'd pray, we'd come to altar calls and we'd pray, and we'd come to altar calls and we'd pray, and we just never really saw it happen. And we've gone through a lot of other just trying circumstances and situations like that. But again, my faith and my love for God is not based on circumstances. It's based on conviction of my heart. And even though it didn't happen right away, it was a period of 10 years and it was very difficult and very hard. I knew that the butter was coming. And I knew that God's promise was on its way. And it allowed me to stay faithful 100%. And so every single moment, every single altar call, every single prayer time, I wanted to give God thanks. God, thank you so much for healing my wife's eyes. God, thank you so much for listening and hearing my prayer. I love the psalm that says, I love the Lord because he listens to my prayer, because he bends down and he listens and he hears my requests. Gives you an amazing picture of the Father heart of God, just how he really pays attention and he takes notice of us. He isn't just some high God there, but it says again, he bends down and he listens to hear our prayer. So I want to give him thanks in everything that we do. Have just the worship team just come up just as we close. And maybe just to ask you, are you asking God for mountains in your life? Have you maybe prayed dangerous prayers recently? And again, it doesn't mean that, all right, I'm going to pray that I become a CEO of this company. Maybe it's something as simple of, God, I pray that you help me work in my area of impatience. And God's maybe not going to doink you on the head and say, all right, now you are patient. But maybe he's going to give you an opportunity to show patience. You know what? Maybe you have an area of pride in your life. Again, God's not going to doink you on your head and say, now you are no longer prideful, but give you an opportunity to be humble. Maybe you're just praying to God, I really need to step out of my comfort zone. God, I know you've been pressing in my heart. These are some areas that maybe are hard to let go of, or hard to begin, or hard to start. But God, you know what? As I embark this year of 2013, as we start this brand new month, God, I want this to be a new story of my life. Where with no matter what my age, whether, again, I'm 88 years old or 80, God, I want to live a life of faith. I want to raise up my family where we as a family grow in faith and grow in our relationship with God. Because God, you are faithful 100%. My relationship with you is not based on my emotions or my circumstance, but God, the convictions of my heart because of how you've pressed yourself onto me. Because God, you love me and your love is unconditional and it blows me away. It says every time that I try to outgive God, he outgives me 100%, 1,000%. So let me ask you, is there an area of your life where maybe you've had a hard time letting go and just allowing God to have complete trust over? There's an area of your life that just says, this is really hard for me just to give it to God. Maybe you're in this room and said, you know what, I've never really given my heart to God 100%. I've never made him Lord and Savior. I've never said, God, please come into my heart. Jesus, thank you so much for what you did on the cross. God, I want to receive that because I want to live the life that, man, you've pretty much have always destined to me, destined for me since the beginning of time. So I'm going to have you maybe just stand. And we're just going to just pray. And I just wanted to maybe just ask that question. Just two questions. With everyone looking around, with every head up and eye open. Say, you know, there's some areas of my life that I need to allow God control. I need to allow God to trust. I need to trust him with it. If that's you, just want to just raise a hand. Because you know what? That's me. There's areas of my life, and I like to do it sometimes with your eyes open, because you know what? You're not alone. You're not alone in thinking that. Sometimes we're like, I'm the only one. I'm the only one who thinks this way. I am so horrible. I'm a horrible human being because my lack of faith. God's growing something brand new and fresh inside of you, and it could start this very day, Groundhog's Day. Let me ask maybe just one more question. Say, you know, I've never really made God Lord and Savior of my life, but today, this February 2nd, I want to give God my life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. God, I thank you so much for just how you constantly show us brand new things of who you are. God, forgive us of the times that it's sometimes so difficult to trust you. But God, I pray that you enlarge our faith. God, may we not just live in our left brain logic, but God, I pray that we combine logic and faith together. God, I pray that we literally walk on water and step out in faith in some areas that you're calling us to. Because God, I know on that side, it is so great and so wonderful. It is so amazing. So God, I pray your blessing. I pray your Holy Spirit on every single person here. We thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to River of Life Assembly of God in Cold Spring, Minnesota. If you have any questions about what you just heard or would like more information about how to become a Christian, just email Denny at riveroflifeag.org. That's D-E-N-N-Y at R-I-V-E-R-O-F-L-I-F-E-A-G.org.